I love listening to my own voice. You hear me? You feel me? You feel me? All right. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my album I made when I was a young boy. I probably started this album when I was about 20 years old. And I grew up in Florida, you know, between South Florida and Central Florida. And you can do Wikipedia or whatever. Fort Lauderdale is where I started. And the music history there was just a lot of classic rock, pop music, freestyle, and Miami bass, hardcore punk, stuff like that. And I listened to a lot of the radio, you know? There wasn't really any cool people doing cool music. I listened to the radio. And I'd always go up to Central Florida to my grandma's house where my family's from, and that's where I ended up living a lot more as I got older, in rural Florida, between the beach and the rivers. And I just really made the album because I learned how to make music with a cheap sampler called an Akai S10. I didn't really learn how to make music, I guess. I just got a sampler and I started sampling things and looping them. And I got into loops and I just played them over and over again and tried to add drums and tried to add whatever I could to them. And, you know, no one ever taught me how to make music. I just sort of did it myself, and it kind of came out like it like you hear it. You kind of hear I had nobody helping me. Yeah, so I would call it kind of folk music because no one taught me. I was into hip hop. And I Googled hip-hop. Actually, it wasn't really Google back then. I just learned to sample stuff. I'd say that one of the big influences was probably DJ Premier, Jay Swift, who produced the first Far Side album. Those guys were able to just put samples together in such a weird way. The Souls of Mischief album and the Digable Planets first album were both really inspirational, and DJ Shadow, of course, because he was able to manipulate samples into something so spooky and crazy. And I felt, when I heard his music, I felt something I never felt before. I felt like the music transferred me to another place and another feeling. It made me think about, you know, things in my life. I didn't know hip hop could do that the way he made it. He told a story that way, and I think that's what I was trying to do with the Florida album. Even though I didn't have A, nearly as many cool records as he did, B, the skills, or I didn't even have an MPC. I couldn't even afford a real MPC. I had like the shitty S10 sampler, and I literally stole it from Sam Ash in Orlando, Florida, when I lived there. For a while, I lived in Orlando, and I was making music in, you know, whenever I could live. I lived under someone's table for a long time. One guy did give me a computer. His name was Shag Rug. I don't know if I can find him now, but he got me my first computer, and I got a bootleg copy of Acid Pro. And that's the first thing I learned how to make music on properly, sequencing and stuff. I just would go around early in the mornings to flea markets or thrift stores, find records I could find, and just listen to music and like, just listen to music all day long, finding things and learning things and reading the back of the records and putting things together in the only way I knew how to do it, you know? Trading records, going to record shows with friends, and old people were there. I was like the youngest person at these record conventions. And just collecting music. And eventually, I thought that I could do something bigger than what I was doing in Florida. But I thought I could do something about how I was living. I was like, what's the truest thing I know is, you know, living here in Florida, my family, what we've done, what I've been through, and, you know, what this the town and the place feels like, and that's what I kind of wanted to do with Florida. I smoked a lot of weed back then too, so I was kind of always listening to my own music and listening to loops and getting high, and just, you know, the music took me to another place when I listened to old records, and you know, that's how the album started. And I think I didn't actually get it finished till I moved to Philadelphia, and I think that's what helped get it done, because in Florida, if you're in Florida too long, you're there forever and you don't do anything. And I think that I escaped at some point and I moved to Philadelphia, and that's how I finished the album. And I sent a demo to Ninja Tune, and they somehow decided to put out my demos. I kind of harassed them. I just liked what they were doing. I liked some of the stuff they had on the label, and I thought they were a good place. And you know, you kind of hear the records. It kind of starts from like the crickets and the cicadas. Those are the bugs at night that you hear in Florida. That's how the album starts. So it's got this like swampy, you know, mysterious, ominous intro, and then just after that, it's a big deluge of sounds and things that I threw together, and like a giant bomb just dropped on you, all sloppy and messy, and some parts are out of tune, and the drums are offbeat, and it's so funny because I spent so much time on these records, and they still sound like demos. Like I spent literally like 3 months on some songs, and they're just like five loops together. And yeah, that's what it is. I think the first demo of the album was called Light in August, because I was obsessed with this writer named William Faulkner, and I was obsessed with the way he portrayed Mississippi and the way that place. I was born there as well, Mississippi. I moved to Florida for most of my life, but the way he portrayed this place in such a cinematic way and so beautiful, but it was so ordinary and so, you know, it's sort of like the part of America that you don't care about or think about or write about. It's just the shittiest part. But he made it seem like the most epic place in the world. And that's exactly what I was trying to do with the album, because Florida, you know, I live next to a mattress barn on like a broken highway road that went from Orlando to I-95, nothing there. And but I still thought it was amazing. After reading William Faulkner's books, I thought, this place is amazing. This place is better than any place in the world. This is where, like, all things happen somehow. And that's kind of, that. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have been inspired to make the album. And that's what it is. A lot of the records were about, you know, just things I seen or girls. You know, there's a record called Sarah on there, and there's a record called Summer's Gonna Hurt You, because for me, Florida is sort of like the endless summer, and it really is. It never, there's no seasons. It's just hot and kind of hot and always wet and nasty, and I love it. And yeah, that record. And then there's the records Big Lost. I named that after my friend Dewey. He was from Florida too, from Kissimmee, and because he always got lost trying to get anywhere. And literally, that's kind of like everybody in Florida. They can't really make it out. They get lost. And the ideas are crazy. The execution is so half-assed, but that's all I knew how to do. That's, I really didn't have anything else. I was making music with Acid Pro before that. I was using this thing called Cool Edit, and that's when you had like one window where you had to cut the sounds and use a calculator to time them and loop them, and you didn't even have a mix window. You just pasted everything over top of each other and prayed that the mix would sound all right. Like I didn't even EQ. I never used one EQ ever on this album, which is crazy. This one guy, Amon Tobin, finally told me, take the bass out of your samples, you idiot. And I was like, oh, whoa, cool. But as long as, you know, my theory was like, I'll smoke weed until it sounds good. So that's kind of my mixing style back then. And that's it.